Okay, welcome back. Here we are in southern Oregon, and I'm still looking at blackness. The power is still out here. Blackness in terms of my screens, they're out. Okay, on the whole, we'd rather be here than in Ukraine. It will take approximately 750 plus years at the current rate of demining to remove all the mines from the area of the line of combat along the Donbass Ukraine border, Russian Ukraine border. The mining there has been horrific. So no one will be able to use that land unless it's painstakingly gone over and the mines are removed, exploded, or otherwise disabled. This is the country, a large swath of the country is now ruined, uninhabitable. Soon, maybe the Western world will be uninhabitable because the push toward World War III is not slowing down. In fact, it is incrementally increasing all the time. We're heading toward a catastrophe. I don't know how else to look at it now. I wish I had another view. These lunatics in the Bolshevik Zionist communist in Washington just today. Another 1.45 billion to Ukraine. Day before yesterday was 380 million. Now another 1.5 billion. That's your money, friends. They're giving your tax money away to kill people. And Colonel Douglas MacGregor says, in his view, and he's conservative, the Ukraine government and Zelensky may have killed 300,000 to 350,000 young men and middle-aged men, they're drafting everybody now, in the Ukrainian military. 20,000 dead Ukrainians this last month in July. Figure it out. And the Russians, their losses are being very carefully guarded. They're losing a lot of good men, make no mistake about it. Because on the other end of the artillery explosions killing Russians and drone operations that are killing Russians and troops are NATO and American military mines. Make no mistake about it. None. The Russians know all this. Mitch Henderson is back tonight. Mitch watches this thing very closely. Former veteran of the military here, combat veteran, he's a former law enforcement officer, he's an absolutely great researcher, has contacts in Russia and in Ukraine. And hello, Mitch, welcome back. It's a pretty grim picture over there. It's the same, it's a trench warfare, World War I with high tech. Go ahead.
Yes, it is. So what has happened is NATO has run out of options in Ukraine. Russia will now move west to the Dnieper River and in the south take Mykolaiv and Odessa Oblast to link up with Transnistria. They're not going to do it the easy way and save lives. They're going to do it the hard way. It's going to cost a lot of lives, okay? And this is for political reasons, okay? So this will give them the Russian population of Ukraine, the industrial heartland of Ukraine, which is the Donbass. It's a big mining and industrial area, and the entire north coast of the Black Sea. This is what Russia said they would do. And Scott Ritter, a Marine intelligence guy, he said that you can tell what the Russians are going to do because they tell you what they're going to do. Okay,
Yes, that's
so
exactly
that's
right.
what they've been saying for a long time, and I think that's what they'll do. After they take this, further Russian advances in Ukraine will continue until Ukraine calls for negotiations to save itself. So
I have
earlier, Russia was. Oh, go
one
ahead.
quick thing, Mitch. I'm sorry.
No, sorry.
Russell Bentley, who's been on this program for years. Lives over there. He's a former American now. He's a Russian citizen now, citizen married, lives in Donetsk. Says that anything less, in his view, than the capture and liberation of Kharkov, Odessa, and Kiev will be a defeat for Putin and Russia. No peace treaties, no freeze in place. They have to take those three cities and the rest of the country as well. Maybe they'll leave a little thin buffer strip on the western edge with Lviv and the other areas. I don't know. But he said that, quite simply, if the worst thing in the world right now would be for Russia to have expended all of this energy and to freeze in place and come to some kind of a peace treaty, that would not be a victory for Russia. It would be a victory for Ukraine.
No, it would not. And let me just say this about Russell Bentley is, you know, I can talk to people over there. I can use my knowledge of strategy and operational art to figure out what's going on and to figure out, you know, the propaganda back and forth, what's bullshit and what's not. But Russell Bentley is in an entirely different place. He is there. He knows this in and out. And I mean, it's part of a major part of his life. So he is in tune with it because he's got to experience it every day. So things that I've heard from him, I think, are spot on. Okay, he's making good evaluations. All right,
he's a very good friend and a very wise friend about that. You are right. Well, yeah. he fought against the Maidan overthrow and the Nazi government or whatever it was then. He fought combat. Yeah. He was involved. And now he's a little old, so he's not doing it. So he's really worth listening to. We'll get him back on when he's ready. But he's very smart. That's very nice of you to say that. It's very correct.
Well, listen, keep this in mind too. Why have the Ukrainians, especially with a president who's Jewish, why would they allow these Nazi formations and stuff in their country? Why would they allow this to be in their society? Well, it's obvious why. Because when Ukraine fails, the Nazis will be blamed for it. Okay?
It's misdirection.
They will put it off on them.
They're keeping everybody looking away from the Bolshevik communist Zionists who are running the show. So they're saying Nazi, Nazi.
Exactly.
Oh, it's so transparent. It's sickening. Did you see the quick video yesterday of there were, four or five tanks and that many APCs, and they all had white flags flying? I ran the story. You must have seen the video, huh? They surrendered en masse. Hundreds of troops and 10 pieces of armor.
I mean, if you want to live, if you're a Ukrainian soldier and you want to survive, the best thing you can do is surrender. Because Ukrainians know, at first they may have thought the Russians would be brutal towards them, but at this point they know that the only
words
way they might survive is by surrendering.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Words out. Because they've had many prisoner exchanges. All those Ukrainian prisoners that went home, and usually it's like 10 Ukrainians going home compared to one Russian going home. So that's because they kill most of the Russians to harvest their organs and stuff. So so Russia's not doing that to Ukrainians. And this whole thing about Russia, Putin and the child welfare lady there evacuating Ukrainian children from the combat area into safety into Russia. I'm just wondering, what is a war crime about that? To save the lives of children, how can that be a war crime? To save the lives of children. Plus, that they call them Ukrainians, but they're really Russian Ukrainians. Okay?
You got it.
And they're going to their mother country. All right? So this is all crappy propaganda and stuff. It was meant to create a problem in South Africa for the BRICS meeting, and, well, they did that. I'll get into that later.
Last remark. Everything that comes out of the Ukraine official alleged government, it's not, it's a regime, they overthrew the government. Everything you hear is courtesy of the U.S., U.K., and NATO propaganda experts. It's all BS.
Exactly.
All of it.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So earlier, at the beginning of this war, Russia was okay with Poland invading and taking the westernmost four oblasts of Ukraine. That's around Lviv. So, however, Poland has been a jerk during this war, and any attempt to send Polish soldiers into western Ukraine will be met with vicious Russian attacks on it. Poland has signaled that they, along with Lithuania, might send troops into western Ukraine. Putin has said if NATO troops enter Ukraine, they will never leave, meaning they will be exterminated. Keep in mind that when you're talking about something like this, okay, there's no hyperbole here. If Poland does it, Russia will do it. There's no consequences for Russia to attack Polish troops on Ukrainian soil, or Lithuanian troops on Polish soil. There's no NATO consequences to that, because it's not an attack on Polish troops in Ukraine is not an attack on NATO. So they're on their own if they do that. So Putin is not going to South Africa for the BRICS meeting. They're going to do it by Zoom for him, and Lavrov will go in person because they're aware of the CIA and MI6 plans to kill or kidnap Putin during his travels to South Africa. This was intended to also cause civil strife in South Africa and the coup d'etat there. The CIA has already funneled cash to the South African political opposition. Everybody knows that, okay? It's not a secret. South Africa is aware that the CIA intends to overthrow its government. Okay, Putin was going to be the crisis that would give the CIA an opportunity to overthrow the government of South Africa. That is exactly why Putin said he'll just do it by Zoom, is because, they're allies, and Putin doesn't want the government of South Africa be overthrown. That would disrupt BRICS.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to do that. So.
Well, Ramaphosa is not the best. Yeah, I remember the story, 4 or 5 months ago, a South African black woman, very articulate, a black.
Yeah.
She said, "We must return the government to white control, or the country is finished." She said, "We have gone nowhere down since the blacks have been put in power. We cannot run our own country."
Yeah, I saw that. That's true. Yeah. I did hear that. So,
and I also want to say that I think Putin absolutely shouldn't go anywhere like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Lavrov should either. I think they should just not send a lower-level person to do it by Zoom. I don't think they should go.
Yeah.
That's just my take.
Well, Lavrov will be okay, because if they take out Lavrov, then Blinken will be taken out, but Blinken doesn't want that. Okay. Before the final endgame in Ukraine, NATO still wants to dump all of its junk there. NATO is giving them antiquated and substandard equipment that they charge off at full price without depreciation. That way it can be replaced at full price. Okay, we're going to get ripped off twice on all this stuff. Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. So it will take a catastrophic loss in Ukraine and the obvious strengthening of Russian and Chinese military forces to justify instituting the draft in America, so we can rebuild our military. There is a difference. While the goal of Russia and China is to build a first-rate military tailored to the strategic requirements of the next war, the United States will be focused on social engineering by drafting females, LGBT, and people of color to include legal and illegal aliens. I even caught wind of an American effort to recruit soldiers directly from Africa, Latin America, Asia, and Muslim nations as a method of immigration. Have we done that before? Oh, yes, we have. We did that in Vietnam. We did that in World War II. We've done it every war. If anybody will come and fight our wars, we'll give them residency, you know. So that was called the Lodge Act before. So women from those nations will be able to be recruited also. There is an effort to recruit LGBT people directly from African and Muslim nations where LGBT is illegal. So why are we focused on social engineering? Our government knows that no nation on earth threatens the United States. It is the United States that threatens the rest of the world. It is not the story they want us to know, but it explains why social engineering is a main objective of our military, and they seem to actually unconcerned about doing battle with Russia and China. They know that, you know, it's not going to happen unless they make it happen. And that's why they cannot build up our military while China and Russia is, because they know Russia and China have no intention of invading or attacking the United States. None.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if we do go to war with Russia, it'll be a nuclear war, so what good is a big army, right?
Right.
where was I?
Here, let me ask one other quick thing. To take, you mentioned that they're going to take Odessa the hard way. Maybe you mentioned Kharkov too, I don't know. The hard way. Mm-hmm. That means World War II, tanks in the streets, bombing above.
Yeah.
That means hundreds of thousands of casualties, dead and injured.
Right.
This is ugly. I still ask my proverbial rhetorical question. If this were really a war to roll up Ukraine and end all the hostilities, why do Odessa, Kharkov, and Kiev still have water, power, life as usual in wartime conditions? But seriously, why do they still have water and power?
Well, you have to remember there's a psychological war going on also, okay? Russia is trying to woo the Ukrainian people. You don't hear Russian propaganda against Ukrainian people. They call them brothers, okay? So it's just a psychological thing that they're doing. Because this war will be over one day.
That's the only explanation I can come up with.
Do they want a bunch of Ukrainians that hate them?
Other than that, no, you have to shut it down. If you're going to get serious at some point. Otherwise, this could go on for a long time. It could go on for a long time.
So you know what they're doing with Ukraine? Look, in 2020, or 2019, I guess, the United States and China worked together to create a worldwide crisis, okay, because you need crises to transform societies. Societies change during war. That's when you can institute new ways of thinking and stuff like this, new beliefs, new national myths and narratives, okay, are created in this time. So what the U.S. Russian war in Ukraine is about is the same thing. It's trying to create crises so that not just the United States can do what it wants, but so that Russia can do with its people what it wants to do, okay? It's nefarious on all sides. So and if you look at this, look at a pattern here. So the United States wants to social engineer. The most important thing for the woke people is that half the military is female. That is the most important thing for them, and that is their goal. They purposely had the debacle in Afghanistan. They're purposely burning up all the ammunition and stuff. They're purposely trying to create a military crisis in the United States so that they can justify this draft. That is their goal, okay? Afghanistan was an integral part of that. So to the rest of the world, NATO is the evil empire. It is neocolonialist, and the world knows it. World War III will be when the rest of the world sees NATO for what it is, and the final dialectical war is fought against NATO so peace can come to the world. Okay, right. Now that's not real peace. That's just a manufactured peace, okay? The NATO meeting in Vilnius signaled the EU's lack of enthusiasm for supporting Ukraine. Zelensky was snubbed at the social gatherings around the summit. People were not interested in talking to him. Okay, that was we used to talk about the Kremlin, like we could say who's on the Kremlin wall during May Day parade to see how political changes are going on in within Russia. Well, Vilnius was an example of the same thing. It told the world what the real temperature of this war is. Okay, and Europe is getting cold towards it. So what we see now in Ukraine is the failure of the Ukrainian army. Don't be fooled by news saying Russia has launched their major offensive. A gain of 25 square kilometers by the Russians is not a major offensive.
No.
Neither is the report saying that Ukraine had launched a major thrust in Zaporizhia. What was called a massive attack was only three battalions. Three battalions is not by any means massive. I mean, look at the propaganda here. Like, here's another propaganda thing. So the Ukrainian military intelligence chief said he's trained 2,000 commandos who will go and seize Crimea, to which Medvedev said, well, that would be a reason for us to use nukes. Okay, this is all safe talk. This is safe talk, Jeff, because the Russians know 2,000 commandos cannot possibly take Crimea. And Russia knows that. Okay, so they can make this threat to use nukes if they do it, because they basically know it's not going to happen. Okay, so that's what I call safe, making safe threats, because they're not going to be carried out. Last week, Colonel McGregor said that a French general told him that France, Germany, and the United Kingdom had only 600 tanks between them. People, these at the end of World War II, these countries, France, Germany, and the United Kingdom, became the strongest nations in Europe, and they only have 600 tanks between them. These are the three largest European powers, even now they are. Since June 4th, Ukraine has lost 451 tanks. The United States produces 25 tanks in a year. So Ukraine has lost as many tanks since June 4th. As
a year.
That's it.
Keep that in mind, friends. Yeah. So, the U.S., yeah.
So
25 tanks a year.
As many tanks. Yeah. Ukraine has lost as many tanks since June 4th as America can produce in 18 years in just 2 months. This isn't through the war. This is just since June 4th they lost 451 tanks.
Got it.
While the United States produces 25 tanks per year, Russia produces 250 tanks per year. Mm-hmm. All of NATO has 12,506 tanks total. Russia alone has 12,600 tanks. So Russia alone has more tanks than all of the NATO countries, Canada, and the United States combined. If we combine the number of tanks that our current enemies have, including Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, and Syria, they have 30,282 tanks. Our enemies have 2.4 times as many tanks as we do, and our allies, as we and our allies do. The United States has 5,500 tanks. Turkey has 2,229 tanks, and Greece has 1,365 tanks. Greece has so many tanks, despite their small size, because their enemy is Turkey. And Turkey has twice as many tanks, okay? So, I mean, France has only 222 tanks, and they are a much bigger power than Greece is. So these people just are not taking war seriously.
No.
So some NATO nations have no tanks at all. This includes Belgium and the frontline states of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. And Iceland doesn't have any tanks, but Iceland actually doesn't have a military, so it doesn't matter. So the once great colonial power in the Netherlands, the Dutch, had a big colonial power, and they have only 18 tanks. Okay, the Baltic nations, that's Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, are only now starting to be interested in buying tanks. They were offered the American Abrams and the German Leopard 2 tanks. They want the Leopards. Poland has 569 tanks, a little more than what Ukraine has lost in 2 months. Uh-huh. NATO knows that it is outgunned by Russia alone, both in ground forces and in nuclear power. That is why you see the mainstream media admissions that Ukraine cannot and will not win against Russia. Okay, but it's say what does the United States have that's more than Russia? The only thing that we have is an air force that's bigger than Russia's. Okay, but Russia has a air defense system that's tight, that's 10 times better than our air defense systems. So instead of putting money into more aircraft to gain air superiority, they put more money into anti-aircraft missiles to defeat the air superiority of the United States. Okay.
You know, let me say one, if I might, Mitch, I want to comment on this. In my mind, and I'm not in the military, I'm not in the military-industrial complex, I'm a journalist, I watch, I listen. Mm-hmm. I have never seen a bigger boondoggle for the Air Force than the F-35 Lightning. That thing is junk. They're constantly having problems with it. Constantly, one-third of them, at least, if not 40%, are not airworthy. They can't fly. They're garbage. They're not an air superiority fighter. They're one of those hybrids, neither this nor that.
Yeah, they were trying to be modular with it, but it's not
working. I get the idea. I get, but it's a Turkey plane. The 22 was better. They should have made many more of those. Now, the F-35 was too many cooks. Too many cooks spoil the soup. Anyway, it's a piece of junk. Go ahead.
Yes, it is. While NATO is trying to achieve equity in their militaries, Russia is focusing on building up its forces. The war in Ukraine is the first war in which both sides are using massive amounts of drones. This is like the fact that air warfare was developed during the Spanish Civil War in 1936 that preceded World War II. So Ukraine is like the Spanish Civil War, but in developing drone warfare leading up to World War III.
That's a good point.
This shows up yet another NATO weakness. Ukraine is losing about 10,000 drones per month. For some perspective, France has 3,000 drones in their military inventory, just 3,000, which is what the Russians shoot down in about 10 days of combat. The United States military has 11,001 drones in inventory, or about what Russia shoots down in a month. That tells you the story of the air superiority and air defense that I'm talking about. Ukraine has introduced AI into drones so that they can swarm a target. They're trying to develop drone warfare out of necessity. However, the reason why Russia is ahead in drone warfare is because of their electronic warfare capabilities. As I've said before, while NATO armies have one company of electronic warfare for each division, that is 200 electronic warfare troops per about 10,000 troops, or one electronic warfare soldier per 50 troops. The Russian army has an entire brigade of electronic warfare troops per division, or roughly one electronic warfare soldier per four soldiers. In Ukraine, these units have EU weapons stationed every 6 miles apart and 4 miles behind the front. They take down 10,000 Ukrainian drones per month, not total, that's per month. The AI does not help because interconnecting drones to act as a swarm, they can all be knocked out of the air using the same frequency. In other words, it takes the same effort to knock out a swarm as it does to take out a single drone. This is important because World War III will definitely be a drone war. This is described in Revelation, detailing a swarm of 200 million drones that attack in the Battle of Armageddon. So we're getting there, okay? So leading up to World War III, while Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran are actively building up its military in actual strength, NATO is trying to create a first-class sissy military. Equity is more important than anything else. In the coming months and years, the crisis in Ukraine and elsewhere will get worse. This is intentional and is meant to be the pretext for Russia to build up its military and ramp up war production. They have already doubled the size of their army just since the start of the Ukraine war a year and a half ago. NATO armies have decreased in size by all measures in the meantime. Russia and NATO will work together to escalate the crisis over the coming months. Keep in mind that this is intentional and unplanned. Radical transformations in society can only happen with a crisis. This is Marxist strategy 101. Never let a crisis go to waste, and if there are no crises to exploit, create one or two or more.
You bet.
That is exactly what the COVID epidemic was about. It was trying to create a crisis so that we could see, we could have this obedience test to see how gullible people were and how much they would obey stupid orders, okay? And it was a success, by the way, both in China and the United States. Russia's goal is a great military machine. NATO's goal is having a military made up with 50% of women with very few might men. The military crisis must look drastic, setting the foundations of a military draft that can achieve diversity, equity, and inclusion by force. Can you see what's going on here? What's going on here is the United States is, it's planned that we are eliminated. We'll be destroyed in this war. This is planned. We're going to be the people who fail. Okay, so let me give a little history of the future. It is also agreed that NATO will lose World War III. Why? Because of diversity, equity, and inclusion. You see, NATO represents the colonial past. NATO is white. Perhaps that explains why we have such mediocre leadership in the West. This is intentional. You see, Joe Biden was the most inept and corrupt person that could have become president. The Zionists called the shots, and no white nation will be permitted to have the best and the brightest leading them, because that would be ableism, which is a woke sin. And incestuous pedophile Joe Biden is the leader of the free world, and he is completely incompetent, a poster boy for anti-ableism. Will Donald Trump possibly be president in 2024? That is not a part of the plan. Trump exists so that those in power can make excuses to curtail our constitutional freedoms. He is the pretext to abolish our Constitution. We have active government censorship, a two-tiered justice system, and no free and fair elections. And there won't be one, okay? Yes, no, Russians are white people.
To me, it's obvious. They're going to install Robert F. Kennedy. There's no question in my mind. I watch what he's doing. I watch the press releases. I watch the statements. He's on the fast track. Trump has 675 counts against him, six trials, something like that. He's still claiming to be the godfather of the vaccine, and he saved 100 million American lives. No, he may have been the spiritual godfather of the bioweapon, which is going to end up costing at least 100 million American lives, at least. He's going to go down on that. He will not give that up. Not going to happen.
Yep. So, yes, the Russians are white people, but their allies are Hispanic, Brazil, India, South Asian, China, Asian, and South Africa, black. BRICS is a model of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Russia never colonized Africa, Asia, or Latin America, but to the contrary, supported their independence from the colonial powers. So Russia does fit in with the woke diversity narrative. In the process, many white Russians will perish in World War III anyways, which is the goal, is to get rid of white people. So remember that the Zionist goal is to exterminate Muslims, Christians, and white people so that their Messiah can come. The Jewish Messiah is the Antichrist. It's not Christ, okay? So in the final world order, New York will not be the capital of the world, the seat of the United Nations. But Jerusalem will be the final world power's capital. New York City will evaporate during World War III. According to Scripture, Western Europe will be dragged down with us. These things should be obvious, but Christian Zionists think it is their duty to support all things Israel. Remember that the prophecy of the two witnesses in Jerusalem that are killed by the authorities, they are executed by the Israeli government. So what is the real motive of Christian Zionists? Is it to bring the Antichrist to power so that Christ can return? The conditions necessary for the Antichrist to arise are allowed by God to Satan. If you help Satan into power, you belong to Satan. Before you ever think that God needs your help to do anything, be very aware of the trap you might be setting for yourself. God is all-powerful, and he does not require anybody to do anything for him. He can do it without you. So keep that in mind. When people are speaking for God, trust me, they're not speaking for God. There is even a large woke movement in the Catholic Church. Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
Two things. One, when I was a little kid and I'd watch televangelists on the TV, I knew that religion was a fraud, a simple control mechanism, just like government and political parties and politics.
Sure.
The same kind of thing. Everybody with a brain really knows that. Now, number two, the Catholic Church has been overthrown. Bergoglio is a fraud. Mm-hmm. As we know, Benedict the 16th was the last real pope, and they kept him prisoner for nine years until he died. They're trying to remake, reinvent, reformat the entire Catholic Church to be something rather paganish. It's all about nature and the globalist vision of the new Catholic Church. It's all changing. And you're right about anybody who speaks for God. God doesn't need their help.
He doesn't need their help.
It's ridiculous.
God can talk to you individually. He's God. He can do what he wants, okay? So there is even a large woke movement in the Catholic Church. Pope Francis is woke. Christ said that you can tell a tree by its fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit, and a good tree bears good fruit. Ever since the Second Ecumenical Council was passed in 1962, the Catholic Church has been plagued with bad fruit. By the 1990s, the pedophile epidemic among priests blew up. They became became very public in the USA, Canada, and Chile, Australia, and Ireland. Pedophile priests plagued Europe and South America. The Catholic hierarchy covered for these pedophiles. Catholics may see this as an attack on Christianity, but Christ specifically said that he had a special place in hell for those who harm children. It is a self-inflicted wound. Consider the Catholics like Mel Gibson that are traditional Catholics do not support Vatican II. They are at the forefront of the effort to try to stop child trafficking. Consider the movie Sound of Freedom and how the mainstream media attacks it. Church and society have been merging in their attacks on the innocence of children. Just like I say that your government, Americans, wants to have sex with your kids. Look, we've got the past 50 years of history of the Catholic Church having sex with your kids. Okay? Now the government wants
more than
to
that. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
So science is woke also. Consider Einstein, the father of modern physics. How did he see the world? He said, and I'm quoting him, "I believe in Spinoza's God, who reveals himself in the lawful harmony of all that exists, but not in a God who concerns himself with the fate and the doings of mankind." Okay, that's not very respectful of God. Remember Spinoza, the 17th century Jewish philosopher from Holland that was the first direct antecessor of Moses Hess, who is the father of modern communism and Zionism.
Yeah.
Hess is basically the Antichrist philosopher of the 18th century. Hess wrote a book called The Holy History of Mankind in 1832. The 21st century Moses Hess is named Yuval Noah Hariri, and he wrote another history of mankind titled Sapiens, A Brief History of Mankind, and Homo Deus, which means God-man, A Brief History of the Future. Notice that both authors wrote history books. You see, if you can control the historical narrative of the past, you can control the historical narrative of the future.
Right.
That's why when you watch the new Murder on the Now, it's all about how white men are just crazy for black jazz singing women and stuff. And I assure you, I could read you a passage from Winston Churchill talking about Egypt of the time. It is extremely anti-black. White Englishmen would not be attracted to black women as a serious partner. Okay, so this is called historical
Mitch,
material.
Let me hold on. Let me underscore that. This is nothing negative about anybody. It's just cultural.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. And I don't know. I've never known anyone, no black females, no white males, who have coveted each other like the allegations contend. It's just not there. It doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't like Asians. Asians don't like Caucasoids. They don't like European Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Look, five races are five different groups, and they all have every reason to be proud of their own group. If you've ever seen Muhammad Ali talk about black pride in the way he did, he was so brilliant at stating it. He says, why would I want to have a marriage with a white woman and have four children who are half this and half that and would suffer through life because of that half-caste problem? He went on and on about it. He's much more articulate than I am. But he was right. He said, stay in your group, develop your group, have pride in your group. You know, stop this crap. Anyway, he was a very smart guy in his own way, and very interesting comments about race.
Let me tell you, when I was in the Army, I was waiting to get shipped over to Asia at Oakland Army Base. I picked up a book and I read it. It was called Soul on Ice by Eldridge Cleaver.
Oh yeah,
okay, Black Panther.
Yeah.
Okay, when I read that book, there was something he said that really made sense to me. He complained. He says, on every billboard, there's all these beautiful white women and stuff. So Madison Avenue decides what beauty is. Okay.
Yeah,
he says,
true.
Well, you know, to black men, black women are beautiful to black men. And he says, you know, nobody recognizes that. But, you know, to a black man, a black woman should be the most beautiful thing that they see. Okay. When I read that, and this is many years ago, and I was very naive back then, I still thought, that made perfect sense. Then later I read a book by a Nigerian author called Things Fall Apart. And what it is about a traditional Nigerian village, some men in this village, and what happens to them when the colonials came and destroyed their culture. What they did, what he describes in there, what's happening is, what the colonialists did is there was an African culture, an African society that valued certain traits and certain actions and certain attitudes, okay, and that was their culture, and their culture worked well for them. Okay, it helped them survive in the environment that they lived in. The culture is an adaptation to your culture. So what he said is, when the colonialists came, they put new standards on people. Okay, and these were white standards. And he's basically arguing that you should judge Africans by African standards and not by European standards. I agree with him. Okay,
sure.
It's only fair, actually.
Only fair. Ah, yes. Well said.
Yep. So notice that both authors wrote history books. You see, if you can control the historical narrative of the past, you control it, the historical narrative of the future. Historical materialism is the very name that Marx gave to his philosophy. It's Marx's theory of history is historical materialism. That's why they have to tear down statues. They got to attack our founding fathers. They got to wipe out the Confederates, because there's going to be a history that white people and black people have always loved each other and always taken care of each other, even though the black people are victims of the unprivileged people. Okay, they can have it both ways, because they have it both ways in everything now. They are in the process of writing a new history of events leading up to the space alien invasion. I'm not talking about a real one. I'm talking about a manufactured one. The military under Trump started admitting that we have space visitors. They are setting the groundwork for an international crisis that will force all nations to unite. Should you believe them? Well, if you can travel light years to get here, would you not have the ability to communicate for yourself? If we use psychological warfare, it is probable that they have the ability also. Would we have to depend on our lying government to tell us these things? Or would an actual space alien invasion be obvious? Will it be a few privileged contacts in a few places? Will it be like Ukraine's massive attack with just three battalions? Will we fall for their bullshit? I think most people will. That is why they are putting effort into it. When I worked as a homicide investigator, there were people who thought far ahead to commit their crime. If they wanted to murder their wife, they would cancel insurance policies on her for years before they killed their victim, so that insurance money could not be used as a motive. They made sure they never spoke ill of their wife and made sure to always speak good of her. They avoided affairs. In other words, they used foresight integral to avoiding having a motive for murder. However, it is the little things that get people caught. I knew drug traffickers that first got very solid alternate identification to include passports and establishing a bit of a history on their new person before they even start trafficking. Most crimes are impulsive and not much forethought goes into it. There are criminals that think about how to do a crime, but a professional criminal thinks first about the getaway. If they don't have an easy getaway, they don't do the crime. Well, our government does that for any such false flag operation that they do. You can see them building the narrative over time, laying the groundwork for the disaster that they want to befall us. They may kill millions to demonstrate the space aliens' power. They have no scruples. To be transformational, it must be big. This will happen after World War III or near the end in order to coalesce the Antichrist power over the world. Everything they push is a lie. Climate change, the need for universal health care, China, Iran, North Korea, Russia, they are all fear-based and they're all unwarranted fears. So now I want to quickly...
It. Yeah, yeah. Go.
I want to quickly mention something. My source in Morocco turned me on to this, because I keep looking for things in the past that are planning now in league with what I was just talking about, how the government plans ahead for these things. So he showed me the Kissinger report. Along the lines of creating narratives, in 1975, during the Nixon administration, Kissinger laid out detailed plans for population reduction in many countries. This was a classified National Security Study Memorandum, an NSSM, known as the Kissinger Report. Remember, in 2009, Kissinger addressed the World Economic Forum and talked about using a vaccine to exterminate humanity, and even joked how people will be paying for their own extermination. This report listed 10 methods to reduce world population. 1, targeted sterilization. There are still 31 states that allow court-ordered sterilization. Okay. I don't have figures on, you know, these people didn't necessarily die, so there's not necessarily morbidity statements, mortality and morbidity statistics on them. Okay. 2, no cures for diseases. I am 70, and the Cancer Society has taken in millions for a cure, and no cure for cancer.
Hundreds of millions.
Yet.
Hundreds of millions.
Yes.
You bet.
Although the old pedophile bait Biden said last week that he had cured cancer, cancer kills over 10 million people per year. It would be bad to find a cure for it. For them, it would be bad. Okay, 3, spreading sexually transmitted diseases. AIDS was developed for this purpose. AIDS has killed 40 million people since 1981. 4, environmental manipulation. This is using environmental law to shut down food and energy supplies. Remember, it was Nixon that gave us the Environmental Protection Agency and the Endangered Species Act, okay, which is this cost. This makes the cost of doing business sky high. It makes the cost of farming sky high. Okay, 5, abortion. 68 million abortions in the USA since 1973. And I couldn't find figures on the whole world, but, you know, they abort kids
68
everywhere.
Million since 73?
Yeah, 68
okay.
million since 73.
All right. That's what, about a million a year or something like that?
Oh, yeah. It's the thing. And you got to remember, this is 1973. Abortion became legal under Nixon. So Nixon is a big bad guy in this thing, okay?
Yeah.
6, genetically modified organisms, and that's because they're sterile. If you buy hybrid seeds, they don't reproduce. You can't save some and plant them, and they'll grow, okay?
Right.
In 2020, they began making all people into GMOs, okay?
Yeah.
7, same-sex relationships. The pedophile Biden made LGBT rights the main goal of the U.S. government when his first day of his presidency. Okay. 8, curtailing the food supply. This is done by destroying farmland and by destroying food processing and storage plants. It is also done by trying to restrict carbon dioxide emissions. You see, food is produced in a natural chemical reaction where the sun is used as a catalyst to combine carbon dioxide and water to make dextrose. The less carbon dioxide, the less plant growth, and consequently, the less animal growth. Climate change is a pretext for our extermination. Over 148 million people have died from famine since 1975. Famine is a good way to kill people, and you notice they're really burning down food production places. They're destroying farmland.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going whole hog on
right
doing this
face.
Because they know this will kill a lot of people. Okay, so it is a big game, and this is tied to climate change. You know, just the other day, Anthony Blinken was remarking that climate change was just as deadly as thermonuclear war. What does he know that we don't know? Okay, nuclear war at first contact. The war will last about an hour, and about 148 million people will die in that nuclear blast, okay? But those nuclear blasts will create conditions where there's no fuel, no water, no food, no medical care, and that is going to kill, that will kill about 9 times as many people as the nuclear blast originally killed, okay? So starvation is a major way that they want to do this. 9, transhumanism, making humans into cyborgs, into GMOs, and the flagship of getting people to accept this is trannies, obvious men surgically becoming women. if you join the military, they'll pay for your transition at a rate of a minimum of $250,000 per person. Also, trannies do not have to meet height and weight standards, do not have to pass physical fitness tests, and do not have to deploy. So what do we got them there for? Well, so these people, we want to cut up adults' bodies to change their biology. We're doing that massively to children also, okay? And that's just to accept this, okay?
Go ahead. We have to hurry, Mitch. Go ahead. Wrap up number 10. We got 60 seconds. Go ahead.
10 is wars. So there's been 28 million killed since 1975. World War III will come to ramp up that number up. The World Economic Forum wants 7.5 billion deaths by 2030. So you can expect a new thermonuclear war before 2030 so they can reach their goals.
Well, I don't...
That's it.
That's an outstanding encapsulation of what's ahead and what's happening right now. It's right there. You got it. We have to run. Good job, as always. We'll put this up under Mitch Henderson on the homepage. Please share the program with as many as you'd like. It's an extraordinary analysis for all of us. Thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you next week.
You're welcome.
You be safe.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right. There he goes, Mitch Henderson. Thanks for being here on Monday. Back with you, hopefully, in 21 hours. See you then.